everybody. No calls this week, so we're going to dive into some social media questions, the first of which comes from Brother Nero of GC on Instagram. What movie did you work the hardest to find and watch? I feel like my journey to find and watch any movie pales in comparison to the things that Megan and Xena may have done in the past. So I want to hear what Xena, what's a movie you had to track down?
Sure. Okay. So I'm obsessed with this movie, Poison for the Fairies. I couldn't find it streaming anywhere. Yeah, it wasn't streaming anywhere. It wasn't available on DVD. I even searched VHS. Okay. I was that desperate for it. But then finally, I had a friend who had it, and he was so nice. He added the subtitles to the movie for me. So that was really nice of him to do that. And I just love him forever. Because at first I was going to watch it because my husband speaks Spanish and his father speaks Spanish. So I was like, you guys can be my interpreters. But that's annoying, you know, and I'm sure they probably just wanted to watch the movie. So luckily, though, my friend came through. He's the best. And now I'm just trying to also find some of his other movies. The director, Carlos Enrique Tabota. Hopefully I'm saying his name right. I spoke about him previously. He directed Even the Wind is Afraid. I was obsessed with that movie. But yeah, he has a lot of like gothic horror movies and stuff like that. So, which most likely, because I just recently watched a new one. It's not a new movie, but it was new. It's new to me of his. I'll most likely talk about it next week.
Ooh, suspense.
Pum, pum, pum. How about you, Megan?
Okay. I didn't really have like a specific one, but like Brother Nero, Asian horror was kind of my thing that was super hard to track down. So I also happen to be from Houston, which means that I would basically import a lot of things blind from CD Japan, but then I would also go to the Hong Kong City Mall and buy some bootlegs. And then there's this tiny little convenience store called Nippon Daido, and they would have VHS tapes you could rent in this tiny little corner of this like little basically grocery store. And I remember renting, this was before like Takashi Miike stuff was readily available, and they had Visitor Q, and I didn't know what Visitor Q was, and we rented it. It was not subtitled. I had a friend who had been to Japan, and she could translate, but this is not a movie that you really need to, you could watch this and not, it's the most messed up movie I've ever seen in my life. I think we had a question a while back about, is there a movie that I would not revisit again? That's probably Visitor Q, because just the visuals alone, you don't even need the subtitles to know how messed up this is. Yeah, I feel like
messed up in an audition way or messed up in a house way?
Way worse than audition, because it basically starts with a dad who is sleeping with a prostitute. That's his daughter. There's also necrophilia. And in the middle of the act, the woman expels her system. There's some lactation and making angels in the lactation. It is awful. This is why I blocked it from memory, and this particular question jogged it for me, so thanks. But yeah, I was on a quest to track down the impossible to find Asian horror stuff for a while there.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I found some gems, but that one was a little traumatic.
Oh, God. My story is nothing. I was really looking forward to watching Near Dark again, and I couldn't find it, so I had to wait until it was on Shudder.
And it's gone again.
Yeah, I decided to wait a few years because I couldn't get it on DVD anywhere. I made little to no effort beyond, it's not available yet. Hey, it's on Shudder. That's my story. That's the extent of it.
I feel like that's a good palate cleanser to the nonsense that I just dropped on everybody. I apologize.
Yeah, everybody forget what Megan just said.
Yes, erase that, scrub it from your mind.
And her second question comes from Thomas Vadbunker. Thomas Vadbunker? Oh, it's like reading a license plate. I'm trying to make sure I'm saying it right. From Instagram. Favorite action horror? This is a hard question for me. I do love me some action horror. And I know I'm forgetting a bunch, so I'll say, like, off the top of my head, I'm just going to say my top two, probably. Okay. And it's classics. It's Aliens and Predator.
Okay.
Although there's so many.
I thought you were going to say this one particular one that you always just talk about. Not Hell House, but there's another movie. There's another movie that you really, really love.
Which one?
Overlord.
I do love that. I was thinking about Overlord. I did serious consideration, but by pure volume of the number of times that I've seen Aliens and Predator, I have to have them in the top two. Overlord's fantastic, though. I feel like Overlord would have been your pick, Xena.
I have it on the list just in case if you didn't say it, but you know.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. Well, I have a couple. So immediately what came to mind, Dead Heat from the 80s. Mm-hmm. That movie rocks so hard. Blade, living for him and his whole style, his existence.
I was actually thinking Blade 2. I like the original Blade. I like Blade 2 a little bit more as far as the action's concerned. Donnie Yen as the choreographer is fantastic.
Okay. I also have I Am a Hero from 2016. It's based on this Japanese manga. About this corpse that just starts walking around. Army of the Dead, Carnage Park. And I'll just give one more, and I'm going to say From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think Dusk Till Dawn. I guess I didn't think of it as action, but it absolutely should be, shouldn't it?
Definitely.
Oh, I'll let Megan say one. There was another one that I love that I talked about recently. Megan, how about you?
You both covered a bunch of mine. So I will add Purge Anarchy. And Battle Royale, and the Blade movies.
Yeah.
And I have to add Planet Terror.
Oh, yeah.
I do so love Planet Terror.
Look at that.
What's the name of the producer who did the Raid movies? And he was in VHS 2, he did The Cult.
Are you talking about Gareth Evans or Timo Gianto?
I think it's Gareth Evans.
Did Apostle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost positive he did the Raid movies too.
Mm. Yeah.
And I feel like even that segment from VHS2 had action elements to it.
Yeah.
Like, I think he would make amazing action horror movie.
That's why I asked if it was Timo, because Gareth and Timo did that segment together.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
Welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. The podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Howdy.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, Xena Dixon. Hey, Xena.
Hello.
And happy Valentine's Day to you both.
Happy Valentine's Day, though it'll be past when this episode drops.
But it's real to us.
It is. Love you guys.
Oh.
If you're listening to this on a Wednesday, which is not Valentine's Day, we hope that your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So what's been filling your heart this week, Xena?
So I finally finished the show Invisible City from 2021. I mean, how would you guys know that I was watching it? But I started watching this show a couple of weeks ago, and it took me some time to finish. Not because I wasn't loving it. It's just, you know how it is. There's a lot of things to see with your eyeballs.
A lot of things to see.
Yeah.
Lots of things to see.
So, Invisible City.
Yeah, but this show rocks so hard. So it's on Netflix, and it's basically about this detective who's drawn to a battle between the visible world and the underground realm inhabited by magical creatures. So this story revolves around this guy named Eric, and he's like a environmental officer. And then he's thrown pretty much headfirst into this world filled with like legends and myths. Sadly, this is not a spoiler. It is in the synopsis, okay, and in the trailer. But his wife, she dies mysteriously, you know, in a forest fire. And he just can't seem to move past it because there's just something really weird about it. The way her eyes look, nobody knows what happened. And so the police right away, they just want to close the case, and that's what they do. And they want him to move on. He does try to move on. He really does. So he tries to do his job as an environmental officer, and he gets a call about a dead dolphin. So he goes there, you know, he packs the dolphin up and puts it in his truck. couple of hours later, you know, he hears some weird stuff going on outside, like somebody was trying to rob his house. I mean, I do know, but I can't tell you. He goes outside, looks in the truck. That dolphin is now a dead man. Doom-doom. That's my dramatic music.
Wait. Where dolphin?
Where dolphin? But it's...
Where merman dolphin?
Yes. And it's just it. But the man, and that's not the weirdest part, the man looks very familiar to him. So I'll just leave it there to avoid spoilers. And again, it's in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. If you just watch like the snippet or the trailer that's on Netflix, basically there's this woman who's walking down the hallway. Well, there's a security guard at this morgue, and he sees something weird happening on the security camera. He sees a butterfly. The butterfly transforms into a woman. So there's like some weird stuff going on. And this one's a blend of mystery, fantasy, horror, drama, and action. And because they do have it under the drama section on Netflix, but I feel like there's like there's a lot of horror elements in there. There's like a whole blend of things. And I just thought it was really cool because it's a Brazilian show, and there are a lot of like folklore tales and legends that's wrapped up. That's over there. Some stuff I've, you know, legends and folklore I never even heard of before. So just made me look it up and stuff like that. But yeah, it has really cool effects. And I don't know if you guys watch the show Grimm. So it's kind of like a mix of Grimm and American Gods, just to give you kind of like a...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, give you like a kind of thing like that. So again, if you want something that's fast-paced, that dives into like creepiness, and there's mystery, and there's gorgeous visuals, I highly recommend it. There's only eight episodes, and the episodes, they don't go over 40 minutes, so it's really not that bad. And they did announce that there's going to be a second season, so yippee! So that was like the first thing, and I was happy that I finished that. I just couldn't help myself. Then I needed something romantic, so I rewatched the comedy Horror Horns. It's based on Joe Hill's 2010 novel of the same name. Came out in 2013. It's on Pluto TV. Blamed for the murder of his girlfriend, a man awakes one morning to find he has grown a pair of horns. And armed with them, now these supernatural powers, he sets out to find the killer. So Daniel Radcliffe, he plays this character named Egg. And, you know, he just cannot seem to get a break. It's unfortunate, the love of his life, she was murdered. And now the whole town thinks that he did it. Especially because, like, the night before they had, like, a horrible, like, argument and they broke up and stuff like that. And then, yeah, he's just in shambles. Pure and utter shambles, okay? So the next morning, like I said in the synopsis, he wakes up, there's horns growing out of his head. But these horns have supernatural powers because whenever people look at, like, his horns, they're able to, like, they just want to tell him things. Tell him their deepest, darkest secrets. And some of the stuff is just kind of like, why would you say that? It made me uncomfortable. Very cringe and stuff like that. But, and if he touches the person, then he'll be able to, like, he'll see it, actually, and stuff. So, but yeah. And he can also make people do things and stuff like that. But, I don't know. When they're not looking at the horns, and after they already spill their secrets and stuff like that, then they don't even remember that they told him everything. So yeah, because now he has these superpowers, he tries to find the person who murdered the love of his life and clear his name. And I haven't watched this movie in years since it was released I know it was released in 2013, but I think I probably watched it in 2014. So it's been a while, but it's just like a basic murder mystery, but it does have like a lot of, you know, cool twist and stuff like that. And there's like a very much a comedic tone, but it's also pretty dark. So just a trigger warning, there's some stuff that's in there. So, but yeah, I had a lot of fun watching it. So there you go.
There you go. You had me at Were Dolphin. Yes, I know that was the other thing, but I like horns too.
Joe Hill will get that next.
Yeah. I also went on a romantic horror kind of binge. I watched 1988's Pin on DVD. It is not on streaming, sadly.
What?
Yeah. It's about Leon, the guy who grew up, I think years later he was in Cube. Anyways, so like as a kid, dad tells his kid, like dad's a doctor played by Terry O'Quinn, like stepfather's Terry O'Quinn. He's a doctor. He's got this life-size anatomical medical dummy that he uses ventriloquism with to kind of either teach kids about, you know, bodily functions or just kind of put them at ease during exams and stuff. And he decides to teach his kids about the birds and the bees with this medical dummy. But Leon's kind of not mentally stable and takes this to be truth and thinks that Penn is real. And years later, into adulthood, Penn kind of takes over his life and his sister's life in a way. So it's a psychological horror movie involving this really creepy medical dummy and this schizophrenic who's very attached to Penn. And I really like this movie. It's Penn, a plastic nightmare. And it's very different. I don't know what it is about a subset of horror movies. There's like doll horror, and then there's a subset of doll horror where it's, you know, like magic or mm-hmm. Pin or Love Object, where these unhinged people kind of project onto this doll. So yeah, it's very interesting and I like it. And then I watched Frank Henenlotter's Frankenhooker, which is on Shudder. Want a date?
Very romantic.
You're romantic.
Well, you know, he does it all for love in Frankenhooker. He's an amateur scientist. I guess I just watched this and I don't remember what it said. He was a med student and I guess he's not. He's like a mechanic now. Anyways, he's a pretty slick scientist who rigs up this automated remote control lawnmower, and his fiance ends up turning it on while standing in front of it, and she dies. So he sets about bringing her back to life by sewing up pieces of hookers, kind of Frankenstein style. But when
as one does,
but of course, you know, those bad girl body parts bring out the worst in his innocent sweetheart, and she's Frankenhooker. I think you're either on board with Frank Henenlotter's sense of humor or you're not. I very much am. It's so goofy and over the top. And I also kind of like the in-universe that he has going. You know, if you watch, like, Brain Damage, then you'll see Dwayne from Basket Case, you know, on a train. And here, Beverly Bonner, her character, appears in a quick, brief, you know, bit. And then there's, like, horror host Zachary, who was the voice in Brain Damage, the creature Elmer. And then he's also, like, the weatherman in this. But anyways, it's super schlocky, charming, fun, and I enjoy it.
That's what matters.
That is.
Speaking of romantic movies, I watched 1995 Seven on Hulu.
Oh.
Two detectives, a rookie and a veteran. That's not true. come on, IMDb.
I'm sorry. You read it, but then you're talking to it.
I know.
Every time.
Hunt a serial killer who uses the seven deadly sins as his motives. Yeah, he's not a rookie. He's been in whatever. He worked to transfer to the city. That's the whole point.
Comparatively?
He is. He's a rookie. He's new to the force. The city.
The city.
Yeah. I thought this might be... This is a little stretch. I've seen Seven kind of go back and forth as being referred to as a horror movie. A lot like, you know, like Silence of the Lambs. Sometimes yeah. It's referred to as a horror movie. Sometimes not. Or Black Swan. Things like that. This movie still holds up for me. It's funny because it's not, sometimes you watch movies and the lack of technology really roots it where they are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, why doesn't he have a cell phone or a smartphone or look it up on the internet? And yes, obviously, like some of the research involved, mm-hmm. Like this whole scene with Morgan Freeman going to the library. But I still feel like if they rebooted it and did it today, there would still be a scene with Morgan Freeman going to the library because, like, that's his character,
more
too.
More people yeah. should go to the library. The library is magic.
But, God, this, it holds up. Like, this, I remember watching this for the first time, and I must have been, like, you know, 15, 16 years old or something like that. And it messed with me. Like, especially, like, when you get to the lust scene, which you don't actually see, you just get an idea of what happened. It's like, oh, my God. It is so twisted. And it still goes down as one of the best opening credit scenes, like, ever. Normally, it's like, I'm just going to switch, you know, like, it's a credits, whatever. But, it, like, it sets a tone. like right off the bat, that what you're watching is totally different. And obviously a little conflicted about Kevin Spacey, which I am about every movie that Kevin Spacey's in right now. It's still a really good movie. And Morgan Freeman's great. Brad Pitt's great. What's in the box? Of course. I think I actually got a box of HelloFresh that day when I was watching it. And I think my wife said, "What's in the box?" I was like, "I'm watching that right now." These are the joys that I get in my life. These little moments.
I appreciate the little things. Said, yeah.
I did watch an interview recently where somebody asked Brad Pitt, like, what's his most memorable role? And he's like, I kind of just do a hard reset after each role and move on to the next one. I don't really remember. He's like, is there any one line? He's like, well, there's one line people quote to me the most. What's in the box? It's like, that's amazing. That people can't let that go. But yeah, it's so good. Like, it's one of those movies where you watch it, especially if you ever have like interest in writing, like as far as like the plot is concerned, you really watch it like, holy crap. Like this was really something like special. Like I don't remember seeing anything like this before, like as intricate and complicated as it was to tie everything together. It was really, really well done. Plus David Fincher is just fantastic, like with his directing. Can't recommend. If you haven't seen Seven, because you don't call it horror and you only watch horror movies, too bad. Watch it.
Yeah, but some of those death moments or the sins are pretty...
They're brutal.
Pretty into horror territory.
They're definitely brutal enough, and there's definitely enough suspenseful scenes that I could see the argument, but I'm still taking this as horror.
Works
and
for me.
Went a little bit lighter... As we were talking about off air, Tubi has had a whole lot of new movies dropping, like Tubi exclusives, everything else. And this one popped up, looked fun, so I gave it a shot. And it was 2022's Hellblazers.
Ooh.
Set in the late 1980s, a satanic cult has a singular focus of unleashing hell on Earth. With the help of an ancient incantation, they conjure a demon, and its members are tasked with feeding it to the populace of a near... And its members are tasked with feeding it the populace of a nearby small southwestern town.
That little two-letter awesome. Word just changed the meaning so
everything.
Fully.
Everything, yeah. I was like, it went from them feeding the beast to the people and feeding the people to the beast. This one's interesting. When I went to just pull the synopsis off IMDb, it had one rating and someone gave it a one-star rating. And they're like, give me my 90 minutes of my life back. First of all, people got to stop saying that. We are in a streaming culture. If you don't like the first half of a movie, just stop watching it. Don't sit to the end of a 90-minute movie and say, give me my time back for something you watched for free. It's ridiculous, the level of entitlement people have. For frankly, it's just a silly, fun movie. I watched it because I saw... Tony Todd was in it.
Okay, I was supposed to ask that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love Tony Todd. And it seemed fairly low budget, which also made me like super excited. Like, ooh, maybe I could get Tony Todd in a movie I make. Like, that'd be amazing.
That would be.
Bruce Dern, Billy Zane.
Oh, Billy Zane is in it?
Billy Zane is in the beginning, and that confuses me.
He does that a lot lately.
He doesn't reappear in the movie, but he seems like a very important character.
Huh.
So I don't know if I missed something, but I'm like, I feel like we should be seeing him again at some point.
Adrian. Because
Billy Zane's also really funny. What's that, Zina?
I was going to say, Adrian, I always butcher her last name, Barboa. Is that how you say
it? Yeah, Adrian Barboa.
I saw a clip. On it, on whatchamacallit, on Tubi. At first, I thought it was an old movie, you know?
No, yeah,
it sounds like it would be like one from the 80s.
Also, I think she's like timeless. She's barely aged. Yeah, she plays like the radio DJ in the town. It didn't even occur to me this was supposed to be set in the 80s. I like never even really thought about that because, again, it doesn't feel necessarily rooted in the time. The one thing I thought, the main actor looks exactly like the main character from The Walking Dead. Like, exactly. to the point that he's like a gruff sheriff at the same time. Like, it's a little bit weird to me. But it's, I thought it was a really funny movie. Like, there's a couple of scenes where I feel like they had to have been improvised. Like, Bruce Dern comes in. He's just this crotchety old man in a wheelchair. And he sits down opposite the sheriff. And I'm almost positive at least some of it was improvised just because of some of the reactions they were getting from each other. Like, stop being an asshole. Don't call me an asshole. And then, like, one guy would start talking and just, what? Fucking listen. What's wrong with you? Like, it was, like, not, like, malicious as much as, like, in-character banter. Like, I thought it was pretty funny. There's definitely parts of it that confuse me. There's several times where people seem pretty willing to blow themselves up. And I wouldn't take that route. But maybe that's me. Yeah, not like you're backed into a corner per se, and let's detonate something. Like, all right, I mean, good on you if that's the way you want to go.
They did not want to be eaten, I guess.
A couple of them didn't even, it wasn't even eating. It was like they were just, the cultists were near them. They're just like, all right, we're going to blow up.
Kamikaze-style town, I guess. I don't know.
They were just really tired of that small town life. They were ready to go.
Like, I just feel right. Like you have me at cults. I feel like I just need to watch this.
Yeah, that's the magic word.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very silly. It's definitely comedy horror. Like, heavier on the comedy than the horror. But it's like 85-minute long movie on Tubi. Like I said, Tony Todd, Bruce Dern, Billy Zane. Give it a shot. Adrian Barbeau.
As an aside, Tony Todd is going to be in a movie premiering next month at South by Southwest, and it has me at the name because the name of the movie is called Bitch Ass.
Oh my gosh. Whoa!
For the win.
Yeah. So, yay, Tony Todd.
Yeah. So, yeah, check it out. And like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's dropped on Tubi lately that I feel like I added to my list all of a sudden. So I feel like a lot of the stuff I'm going to be saying for the next few weeks is going to be either just Shudder or Tubi, which I am not complaining about in the least.
Sounds good.
All right. Before we move on, what are we watching? How do we watch it?
So I watched Invisible City on Netflix and Horns on Pluto TV.
I watched Pin on DVD and Frankenhooker on Shudder.
And I watched Seven or Seven N on Hulu. And Hellblazers on Tubi. All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
The Super Bowl happened, and it brought all sorts of goodies. Lots of trailers, commercials, great halftime show. But it also, you know, included the trailer for Jordan Peele's Nope.
Whoop.
Although technically Universal dropped that at 3 a.m. Eastern on Super Bowl Sunday, but still, I do think it played during the Super Bowl.
It did.
The film reunites Peele with Oscar winner Daniel Kaluuya, who, you know, was the star of Get Out. He's joined by Kiki Palmer, which I'm excited about, and Oscar nominee Steven Yeun. You know him from Mayhem or The Walking Dead. They are residents in a lonely gulch of inland California who bear witness to an uncanny and chilling discovery. The first poster was literally like a big cloud with a kite string over a town. So this trailer kind of gives you an idea of what that might be. The thing that I like about this trailer is that there's so much imagery packed in and nothing really given away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also kind of event. Like, this is something that, it, you know, if you're not even a horror fan, you're probably excited about this trailer.
And there's no R&B like remix. I was wondering what song they might play, and there wasn't. And
but I mean, that Say Yeah, I don't know. That kind of slaps. Mm-hmm. It's so fitting.
I love the trailer concept that Jordan Peele does. Like, in this age where we are so inundated with domestic trailers and international trailers and exclusive clips and so much before the movie, I kind of love, like, we'll give you a little bit. Go watch it. I really like that I don't have to, like, avoid spoilers within a trailer.
But what you might have to avoid which probably isn't so hard for you because you're not that involved on social, is all of the crazy theories that have begun. Oh, the breakdowns and the speculation and the amount of people I saw that said not of planet Earth. Is that what Nope starts?
Yeah.
So many said that as if they thought of it, but I'd seen it like 20 times. But
I was going to say, like, is that just a normal saying that people have?
I don't know how it worked. I was surprised that it was like so many people were jumping to this conclusion. I honestly don't know. I do think that there's probably a lot of significance because Jordan Peele is a director that you know, is very thoughtful about what goes in his movies. But I don't really care. I'm going to watch it.
There you go.
My Bloody Valentine.
You got me a My Bloody Valentine cupcake?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, thank you,
That
honey.
Is love.
And for the listeners at home, my children just brought me a Valentine cupcake into the room.
Oh, wow.
Okay, you go upstairs and play. Say Happy Valentine's Day. Bye.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's. Oh, my
Wait,
Bloody
John,
Valentine
you have to
cupcake.
Taste the cupcake and tell us how it is. It's so beautiful.
Oh, I will. This is Megan's segment. It's time for me to eat a cupcake.
While you taste that glorious cupcake, my Bloody Valentine cupcake, I want to eat a cupcake. A new Issa Lopez movie is on the way. Lopez's new movie is titled The Girl with a Thousand Names. It has been acquired by New Line, with the filmmaker directing and producing for HBO Max. The script tells a fantastically real story of a child from another world trapped in our broken reality without documents in a detention center for unaccompanied minors and the children separated from their families at the U.S. border. Which sounds pretty similar, not totally similar, but like Tigers Are Not Afraid, I definitely feel like the DNA of Lopez on that. Issa Lopez also has a handful of other projects in various stages of development, including Our Lady of Tears for Blumhouse and a project with Guillermo del Toro, which I'm desperate for because that's supposed to be a werewolf Western movie. So, yeah, that's about all the news we know or all the details we know about The Girl with a Thousand Names so far. But I just want to champion Issa Lopez for anything that she does because that movie is great. And also keeping with the trend of trailers that don't give anything away. And in fact, this one might actually confuse a little bit.
It confused me.
Yeah. The poster and teaser trailer for A24's Men arrived last week. Oscar nominee Jesse Buckley stars in the new film from Ex Machina and Annihilation director Alex Garland. And all we know about the plot is that the film follows a young woman who goes on a solo vacation to the English countryside after the death of her ex-husband. And it will be released in theaters on May 20th. I have no effing clue what happened in this trailer. It looks like there might be some Adam and Eve imagery. There's some snake skin happening. There's apples that fall from a tree. Otherwise, it looks crazy mind-bendy.
All right. I thought that it was just me because everybody was like, yeah. And I was like, wait, what happened? So I had to go back, rewatch, and I still don't know.
I was
watching it and my wife saw like over my shoulder. She's like, what is going on there? I was like, I don't know. But there's something weird happening at the end of the tunnel. So I want to watch this.
Yeah. I don't even think that people know what's happening. I think they're just excited for a new Alex Garland movie, which I understand because I loved Annihilation. I don't know how you felt about it.
I did. I really liked it.
Yeah.
And this cupcake is delicious.
Well, great. Screambox announced the acquisition of U.S. rights for all 44 episodes of the iconic horror series Freddy's Nightmares from Warner Brothers Domestic Television Distribution for its streaming service.
Yay!
Yeah, it's set to premiere February 15th, which means that it will be available by the time this episode drops, and it will mark the first time the show has been available to stream on a subscription service. It's based on one of horror's most storied franchises. Freddy's Nightmares is an anthology series starring original Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund. It aired from 1988 to 1990. Each episode tells a different story of a dark, rooted, and grim nature that takes place in this fictitious town on Elm Street. There's a lot of happening on Elm Street. The same setting as the new Nightmare or A Nightmare on Elm Street films. I cannot get, this is a tongue twister apparently for me. The series picks up where the films left off with Krueger terrorizing the citizens and taking revenge through their dreams. The pilot episode, No More Mr. Nice Guy, acts as a prequel to Wes Craven's A Nightmare on Elm Street and was directed by the late Tobe Hooper. Other notable filmmakers include Mick Garris, William Malone, Tom McLaughlin, and Robert Englund even directed some episodes. And that's not enough. Bloody Disgusting will be celebrating the event by hosting a Twitter watch party for the first episode on Saturday, Feb 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. So you've got time to watch, or you can live watch. But if you don't have Screenbox, they do have 30-day free trials currently. So you can watch it.
I'll be there.
I can't wait to watch this. I haven't gotten a Screenbox subscription yet, and I'm going to just for this.
Woo-hoo!
It's so fascinating because it was this really unique time in pop culture, if you think about it, that we basically idolized a serial child killer. Like, hey, let's give this guy his own show.
Merchandise galore.
It was huge.
Freddy Mania. Yeah, that was a huge thing.
Yeah. All right, listeners, your turn. Do you know random acronyms that may or may not be a spoiler to a movie? Do you idolize your own strange pop culture icon? Let's hear about it. You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
Well, we do have a sea of options this week. Uh-oh. So the first...
I'm finally right. Yes. Okay. Only took 70 plus episodes for me to be accurate in that part.
Well, you're always right in your heart, John.
Oh, God. That was like my
Happy
mom
Valentine's.
Trying to compliment
She's getting feisty
me.
Today.
No, not me.
Oh, you try so hard.
You get an A for effort, Peggy.
Okay, so as Megan said, on the 15th, Tuesday, 44 episodes of Freddy's Nightmare. Nightmares will be available on Screenbox, so try it out if you must. And then on Thursday the 17th, we have The Cursed coming to theaters, but technically you'll probably be able to see it on Thursday night, depending on where you live. So this one is basically about in the 19th century France, a mysterious, possibly supernatural menace threatens a small village. John McBride, I was going to say John, creepy podcast.
Is that what I do? I'm just thinking about the cupcake I just ate. It was brownie based.
You ate all of it?
Yeah, he devoured that.
I'm in a little closet here. What am I going to do with the leftovers?
Take it back out with you as a snack for later?
I don't know.
But you're going to save
what
some.
You, what kind of a monster are you? You can eat a cupcake
he
later?
He slashed into that like my bloody Valentine.
Yeah, I just thought that you like took a bite. I didn't know you ate all of it.
I did. I took all the bites.
What? How?
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, so basically this guy, he goes to this small town to investigate, like, danger, and he might have to exorcise, you know what I mean, out some demons in the process.
Might need to go to the gym.
Exercise.
Stop! Okay, next on Shudder, we have They Live in the Gray. While investigating a child abuse case, a young social worker discovers that the family is being tormented by a supernatural entity. Oh, and then this one, I'm really looking forward to this one. This one comes from director Richard Bates Jr., and this is the movie called King Knight. It'll be available on VOD. So the director, he wrote and directed Excision, Suburban Gothic, Tone Deaf. So his movies definitely do have like a style. So in this one, Thorn and Willow appear to have it all as respected high priests and priestesses of a coven of a new age witches. However, a secret from Thorn's past throws their lives into turmoil, sending them into a hilarious, trippy journey. And this has like a really cool cast. And if it helps, Andy Milonakis is in this. I used to watch his show.
Andy Milonakis is in this?
Yes, he's in this. I saw him.
What was the last thing Andy Milonakis was in?
It's been a while, but I like him. I used to watch his show. It's funny. Okay. And then anyway, on Friday the 18th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is hitting Netflix. Do you guys plan on checking it out? Yeah.
Yeah. If I remember to turn on Netflix, I'll probably be on Tubi and Shudder.
Oh, true, true. Well, maybe one day you'll watch it.
I'll wander
one back. Day, yeah. When we remind him.
When it's assigned to me.
Then we have another thing available on that'll be on Netflix as well, and it's called Don't Kill Me. So after this young woman dies from an overdose, somehow she comes back, and then she discovers the world that she's a part of a world that is full of violence and just pure chaos, and she never knew that it existed. So I believe that this one is based off of a book. And then we have Incarnation. It'll be available on VOD. So this one is it's based off of like ancient demon, the mammon, I believe. It's like a biblical word and it means worship of wealth. Taye Diggs is in this one. And the story follows like a struggling couple who's chasing the American dream only to realize their worst nightmare when they discover a demonic spirit is in their home. And then last and certainly not least, we have the psychological horror, A Banquet. It'll be available on VOD. So a widowed mother is tested when her teenage daughter experiences like enlightenment and insists that her body is no longer her own, but is serving a higher power. So there's like a lot of boundaries and beliefs in this one.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, and then of course, you know, Bloody Disgusting TV, Scream Box, Don't Forget. Yeah.
Live your life.
Live it.
I will be.
You already have. You're hitting the sugar high right as we wind
down. Because I ate a brownie doesn't mean I'm living my life.
I don't know. Like, usually when I have sugar, that means that I'm living my life.
He's about to. I feel like...
Usually when it's you've had some grapes and some Diet Pepsi.
No, I just have water today. Ew.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting Podcast for this week. Everyone, if you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at LovelyXena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly Horror Nation podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And for even more content and rewards, check us out on patreon.com/bedisgustingpod. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform, or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.